Today's topic is confusing the Satan. La'arvev et ha-Satan. It was the Shabbos Shuva Drasha delivered in Cincinnati, Ohio, in my shul, the Goffman Synagogue. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Ted Zayin Amud Bet, says as follows. Lama toki'in u'meri'in k'shehen yoshevin, v'toki'in u'meri'in k'shehen omdin, k'dei la'arvev ha-Satan. The Gemara says, why is it that we blow shofar when the congregation is sitting, and then we blow again when they are standing? The answer is, in order to confuse the Satan. First, we have to explain exactly what is required of the shofar blowing to understand what this means. Really, the shofar blowing should be quite a simple event. According to the Torah, we know Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Truah. It's a day of Truah. So you have to blow a Truah. And we learn from various sources in the Gemara as well, it says Vahavarta, you have to have a noise, a sound that comes before and also after the Truah. So you have to have these two sounds that we call Tekiah on either side of the Truah. Then we learn from other Makaros that you have to do this three times. So basically, to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, it should be sufficient to have a tekiah, truah, tekiah, tekiah, truah, tekiah, tekiah, truah, tekiah series, and that would be it. Done. Finished. However, we have a problem. We do not know exactly what the truah sound is. Is the truah sound in the middle a shvarim, da, da, da? Is it a truah, nine small notes? Or is it a shvarim truah? Apparently it's not a truah shvarim, we don't have that mesorah, but it could be either a shvarim, a truah, or a shvarim truah. And in order therefore to make sure that we get all of the halachic minute correct in fulfilling this mitzvah mina Torah, we are therefore required to do each of these. The tekiah, shvarim, truah, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim, truah, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim, truah, tekiah, and so on, the same with shvarim, the same with truah, in order to fulfill our obligation. Now, having said that, so we're being told in this Gemara that aside from the fact we know there's another item of Aim Sisra of trying to get 100 sounds from the shofar blowing as well on the day of Rosh Hashanah, but aside from that, in terms of the development and the evolution of the blowing of shofar, first we had, as we said, just a basic requirement of a truah surrounded by the tekiah at various times. Then, because we didn't know what the truah was anymore, so we have to enhance that to make sure we fulfill the mitzvah correctly. And now we're being told that we added another, what we call 30 kolot, another repetition of what we have just described. And this is being done in order to fool the Satan. Presumably, as it's understood by most Rishonim, the Torahidic obligation to blow shofar took place, and the Ramban especially emphasizes this with Zichronot Shofrot Malchiot being a Torahidic idea, saying those psukim, that we blow shofar along with those in Musaf. That's where the obligation is. That's what we call tekiyot de amida, the tekiyot that are done when standing, because they're done during the tefillah when one would be required to stand for that part of the liturgy. Today, of course, we stand also for the shofar blowings that are done right after the Torah reading. That's what we're referring to now, that these shofar blasts were instituted to be there early on in the davening, in order to fool the Satan. Now, of course, the question is, what's it mean to fool or confuse or distract the Satan? Doesn't the Satan know by now where the real tekiyas are, namely in Musaf, that we put in an extra set earlier on in the davening? Rashi, in his comment, says, the reason we mix up the Satan in doing this, shelo yastin, that he won't prosecute us, he won't attack us. Kishiyishma Yisrael mechavavim et amitzvot misatamin divarav. It's because when he hears that the Jewish people love the mitzvahs of the Torah. In other words, generally the Satan tries to show that we try to get out of doing mitzvahs, we run away from doing mitzvahs. And yet here the Jewish people, not only do they not run away from doing the mitzvah, but they blow it again. They blow the shofar twice out of their love for the mitzvah. Because of this, and we'll see later on, the Aruch HaShulchan, I believe, will help us understand Rashi better, but Rashi says, because of the love that we have for mitzvah, so this shuts up the Satan from being able to attack the Jewish people. Tosafot, there, says, Piresh Ba'aruch, the Aruch explains, Yerushalmi, as it says in Yerushalmi, Bala Hamabat LaNetzach, we know that one day death, destruction will be swallowed up forever. And it says as well in Tanakh that on that great day when God swallows up death, so the great shofar sound will be blown. So when the Satan hears the blowing of the shofar the first time, he's a little nervous, maybe he's a little unsettled. However, because Shama Tanyin, Amar Radai Zeo Shipura Diitka V'Shofar Gadol, when he hears the second blowing, he says, this is the blowing now that's taking place, the great blowing, ushering in the coming of the Mashiach. Umate Zimna Limitbala Umit Arev. And therefore, he recognized that it's his time as well to be swallowed up, to be destroyed forever. And he thereby becomes confused. He can't focus. Veletle panai lemedbad kategoria. And he has no ability, no time, to therefore prosecute the Jewish people now. In other words, the idea to be a prosecutor as this Satan is, as we understand it in this animated form, obviously has to have focus in order to do this against the Jewish people. He has all his papers together, he's ready to present his arguments, and then suddenly he hears the shofar blast, he drops his papers, he doesn't know what he's doing momentarily, and that is enough to distract him, to confuse him, and to allow the Jewish people to have their judgment rendered by the Baruch Shalom favorably, while the Satan is temporarily put out of commission. Now we said that this is where the Gemara indicates the notion of confusing the Satan. There are other items as well we see in Halacha where we have a similar theme, although as I understand it, these are not necessarily to be found in the Gemara. So for example, in source number 4, in Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuk Pehe Bet, it says, V'tov likoa b'tzad yamin. We are told that it is a good thing to blow out of the right side of the mouth. Mr. Brewer says, why? He says, Mishum dichtiva satan omeid al yimino l'sidno. Because we know that we are having a description in Tanakh, in the case of Zechariah, Paragimel, we know we read it on Hanukkah, that the Satan, it says, was standing to the right of the Kohen Gadol. The Satan is on the right, ready to prosecute, and since that's the case, so thereby one should blow out of the right side of the mouth in order to attack, the Satan. We also know, I should add, by the way, that the Mefarshim point out that if one cannot blow out of the right side for whatever reason, it so happens I also am a shofar blower, and I find it very difficult to blow out of the right side, I blow more easily out of the left side. So the poskim say, the Mishabura and others, the Ravad Yosef, that this is not at all ma'akev. This is just, if it's a choice, it's better to blow out of the right, but if a person needs to do it on the left side of his mouth, that is also acceptable. We also have the same notion of being ma'arvev ha-satan, of confusing the Satan. By the way, some say the word ma'arvev comes from the word erev, which means to mix, like erev is a mixture in the evening of day and night, or like arov in terms of the wild beasts in the Makos that came against Mitzrayim. Some say that it's a mixture of different types of animals that came to attack the Egyptians. So to hear this mixing of various things is what confuses the Satan, which is, does not allow him to have proper clarity in his attacks upon the Jewish people. Another area where this comes as well, the idea of confusing the Satan. Source number 6, Taf Kuf Pei Aleph Gimel. So there we are told, Ein Tokim Be'erev Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to Erev Rosh Hashanah, we know after blowing the shofar for the entirety of the month of Elul, we do not, however, blow on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Source number 7, the Mishnah Berurah points out the two reasons that are brought down for this. It's not a Gemara. There are two different reasons among poskim. One is lahafsik bein tikiot de rishut or tikiot de chova. One is to make a distinction between the blowing of shofar, which was done out of a customary reason during the month of Elul, and then the understanding and hearing the shofar that is going to be blown out of the obligation of the Torah. That's one reason that is suggested. And there are nafkamina, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, to this way of understanding it. And there's another explanation in the Sefer Minhagim, which says it's kedela arvev hasatan. It's in order to confuse the Satan. So again, we have another possibility in understanding an area of halacha where we have this theme applied. And as you note, this is coming about again and again, it seems, by the mitzvah of shofar. We don't seem to find this generally in regards to other mitzvot. I can indicate, if I wanted to, some cases where it's brought up. There's a Gemara discussing the lulav and the etro concerning the idea of the Satan creating a bad atmosphere for the Jews in trying to reach the Ribbono Shel Olam. There
in Masechet Sukkah, on the top of Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph.
In terms of a focus again and again of the Satan coming upon a particular mitzvah, there's nothing that compares to the mitzvah of shofar as we are seeing in this particular case. Now, in source number 8, I also bring various paragraphs of the liturgy that we have in the Machzor that we read before the shofar blowing. At least some read Yehi Ratzon's special petitions from God. And in the first paragraph I have there, so at the end of the first Yehi Ratzon, we say that we should blow the shofar blast, Lahavit et ha-satan b'tkiatam, so that the Jewish people can wipe out, can trample upon the Satan with their tekiot. I had a rabbi here who used to blow shofar before I did. Rabbi Rafael Levitt was his name. And Rabbi Levitt would do a beautiful trua. I mean, to say beautiful is that it would sound like someone like who was punching, you know. Just again and again and again and again, the trua would come and hit hard. And I said to him, after he blew shofar one time, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, I said, Rabbi Levitt, oh, your trua was so beautiful today. You really gave it to the Satan, like we say in the Yehi Ratzon, that we should trample the Satan, we should knock out the Satan. I said, you really gave it to him. And he said, shh, Rabbi Balk, please not so loud. You know what? Tomorrow is another day, and the Satan will be back again, ready to go. So another Yehi Ratzon we have before the shofar blowing ends also with a statement, Sitom pi Satan v'yayastin aleinu, that God should shut the mouth of the Satan so that he's not able to attack us, to prosecute us. And then before we actually blow the shofar, we say, Minamei tzakaratika, anani bamerchavka. We say various verses, this first one that opens it all up. And then we say another 6 verses. Koli shamata, arosh debar chaimet, arov abdechalatov, sasanochi alem yapecha, tuv tam adad lamedeni, nidvot pirit say na Hashem. We say these psukim. You may note that these psukim begin with the following letters. Kuf, resh, ayin. Sin, Tet Nun, spelling out Kara Satan, tear up and destroy the Satan. Again, the emphasis in regard to shofar blowing with the attempt to destroy the prosecutor so the Jewish people will come out favorably from the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Now, I got to thinking about this. Is it really the shofar that the Satan so much needs to be attacked for because he comes at the time of the shofar blowing? Is it really the shofar, and is that why we have to confuse him? Or is it perhaps something else following in the steps of the shofar, in the history of what the shofar is all about? In source number 10, Rosh Hashanah, Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Bahu, Lama Tokin B'Shofar Shel Ayil. Rabbi Bahu says, why do we blow a shofar, and why do we blow specifically the shofar of a ram? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tikulafanai B'Shofar Shel Ayil, Kadesha Ezkor Lehem Akedat Yitzchak Ben Abraham. He says that God says to the Jewish people, blow the shofar of the ram in order that I shall remember for you the binding of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Umala ani alechem ke'ilu akadetem atzmechem lefanai. And then I will treat it as if you have actually offered yourselves, you have actually brought yourself as a sacrifice, just like Abraham brought Yitzchak, and I will thereby treat you accordingly in a favorable way. So the main purpose of blowing the shofar, although we know Rav Saad Gaon brings 10 reasons, but the main purpose, the Gemara says it seems, is because of Akedat Yitzchak, as we indicate so often in our liturgy. That being the case, is it really the Satan and the shofar that are the issue here? No. It's further than that. It's deeper than that. It's the Satan and the Akedah. And so if we go to Bereshit Kaf Bet, there where we have the very introduction of the Akedah, Vayehi Achar Dvarima Ela, Vayalokim Nisat Abraham, it was after these things that God tested Abraham, Vayomer Elav Abraham, Vayomer Hineni. He spoke to Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am ready for what you are going to present to me. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Peitet says, "My achar d'vayma ela." What's it mean after these things? After what things? There's a machlokas tanayim there. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Achar d'varav shel Satan." It was after the words of the Satan. The Satan, the Gemara goes on to say, challenged the Ribbono Shel Olam to give Avraham Avinu a test. Because here Avraham Avinu was given this precious gift of a child by God at age 100. And yet the Satan says he did not properly thank God with a proper suda, with a proper thanksgiving offering to God as a result of being given what he was given, this child in his old age. And God responds, what? Are you kidding me? Avram would offer his son, that very son I gave him right now, if I asked him to do so. And so immediately then God tests Abraham. As a result of what? As a result of the Satan. That's why the entire Akedah came about. The Medrash Tanchuma, in fact, on these psukim in Bereshit, discusses the fact that the Satan disguised himself as an old man and he tried to talk Abraham Avinu out of going to the Akedah and carrying it out when he saw that Abraham seemingly perhaps was going to actually do so. And then it says that he made himself into a river so that while going to offer the Akedah, the Satan would raise the waters to a very high level, even unto Abraham's neck, so that Abraham would be drowning as a result of going through the Akedah, until finally he cries out to Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I am making you one in the world. You are one in the world. I am one in the world who believes in God. I'm trying to do this mitzvah of yours. Please help me. And then the river dried up. The Satan was rendered not able to continue to to come against Abraham. And finally, it says in Tanhuma, Uba Satan Bidachaf Yodo Shiado Shel Abraham Binafla Saki Miyado. Abram was really about to do this act, following God's command as he was told. And the Satan having no other choice, so he had to knock the knife out of Abraham's hand. And yet, when this happens, Avram going to pick up the knife again, finally God has to yell out, the Medrash says, Al tishlach yadcha el anar. No, no, it's okay, Abraham, you can stop now, you do not have to slaughter your son Yitzchak. It's considered as if he was already slaughtered, the Medrash says. And what did the Satan do at that time, knowing that he can't win? We know he's saying, Hashkivenu, Vaser Satan Milafanenu Meacharenu, that God should keep the Satan from before us and after us. Mufarshim say, if the Satan can't stop you from doing a mitzvah, he'll try to get you after you do the mitzvah. So here Avram follows what the Ribbono Shel Olam said to do, and with no other choice, this evil Satan will do anything to bring down man. He goes, even though it seems like it's all over, he goes to Sarah. Sarah, who is left at home, who doesn't know what's going on. And he, according to this Medrash, presents himself as Yitzchak. And Yitzchak tells his story, Mother, Mother, you know what Father almost did? He took me and he put me on the Mizbeach, and he was about to cut me, and he was about to kill me. And Sarah, not being told, it says, by the Satan, that but the God came and intervened and said that he now believed Abraham Yirat Shemayim, and what a wonderful thing it was. No, no, the Satan didn't tell all that. Sarah dies in shock, as it were, and her soul leaves her. And as a result, right afterwards, it says that Abraham comes in the very next parsha, right after the Akedah, to bury Sarah. And as a result of this, the Satan hopes to bring down Abraham because he couldn't do so before the Akedah. In the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it has in Perek Lamed Bet, we have it here in Source 15, there is a similar statement that is made. The Satan was not successful again. No. As a result, in the Parsha, it says he came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her, and it says, when it says to cry for her, it says a little kaf. In the word it says, leaf kota, to cry for her. A little kaf is written in the word to cry. To show us that, say the Baal HaTurim, that he only cried a little bit. How could he only cry a little bit? How could that be? To show, it says, in my Rebbe Rav Kretz, Zichron Livracha, from New York many years ago, told me this as well, that to show that Avram had no regrets about making the Akedah. The Satan wanted Avram to cry like a sea of tears. Everyone would say, oh, I bet that he's sorry he did that Akedah because it led to his wife's death. Nothing doing. He only cried a little bit. He only cried a little bit. In fact, the reason at first said he eulogized and then he cried is also, Mefarshim say, an indication of this, that he had no regrets, because usually a person cries when hearing about the death of his loved one and then eulogizes. But in this case, just the opposite. Abraham pushed off his crying in order to show that he was in full control and he did not regret offering an Akedah of Yitzchak, as God had told him to do, even though it led to the death of Sarah. And interestingly, this idea of the Satan being connected to the shofar. So it says in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that when Sarah heard this from the Satan about what had happened, it said she started to cry. Ubachta shalosh b'chiyot keneged gimel tikiyot. Gimel yilalalo keneged shikenegdan. Gimel yivavot. When she cried a series of three. She cried three tekiyas, maybe three teruas, three shavarim. She cried the notes of the shofar. Again, the Satan being there at that point of the shofar, but it goes back to the time of the Akedah, and in this case, Sarah finding out about it. And it's interesting. In the Tamei HaMinhagim, it is brought down. Tafshin Kavdalid. It says there that on Rosh Hashanah, the reason that we go to Tashlich, one of the reasons given is because we know that it has fish, and fish are a sign of bracha, these fish that are in the waters. But moreover, it's because of this reason we said that Avram Avinu, when he went to offer the Akedah, so the Satan, it says, turned himself into the river, and therefore we go to a river, a body of water, to recall the Akedah. So too in Tafreich Sadi Aleph in the Tamei Minhagim, it's brought down that we do not mivarech the Chodesh, again relating to the idea of fooling the Satan. We do not make Birkat HaChodesh, as we know, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Why don't we? So one reason that's brought, I know, by Mefarshim is it says the Pasuk Tiku BaChodesh Shofar BaKeseh LeYom Chageinu, because we're told to blow the shofar, but that will be done as we cover up our holiday. Our holiday refers to Rosh Chodesh, indicating that because Rosh Hashanah is such a great day, the day when the whole world is being judged, the day of creation of man. So because of that, Rosh Chodesh takes a lower level of importance, and it's in fact covered up. We see the same thing in the Musaf Davening by the Korbanos. We indicate the Rosh Hashanah Korbanos, not really so much the Korbanos of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is kind of seen as just in the background because of the great light of Rosh Hashanah. So that's one reason that's given why we don't, or we're not mivarech the Chodesh, because the Chodesh is very much muted in regards to Rosh Hashanah, so we don't announce it. It's a new year. But the other reason given here is kedei la'arvei v'tasatan. Again, it's in order to confuse the Satan, that it shouldn't know what is coming up. It shouldn't know that the new year is coming. So as a result, we don't announce it. We just kind of keep it very quiet. So thus far we have seen that we have the notion, according to the Gemara, of confusing the Satan. And that notion seems to be specifically very much focused upon the mitzvah of shofar. We took it, however, another level that say it's not so much shofar per se, but it's the idea of the Akedat Yitzchak, from which the shofar comes, that the Satan historically tried to stop the Jewish people here, and thereby he still does so this day with the remnant of the Akedah, namely the shofar that we blow. And I might add, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in a famous statement, once explained that the reason that the Malach, the angel, the Saroshel Esav, fought against Yaakov Dafka is because we know the Avos represented certain ideas. Avram represented Chesed. Yitzchak represented Avoda. But Yaakov represented Torah, says Rabbi Chanan. And he says that Avraham representing Chesed, of course that's critical. That's one of the Amudei HaOlam. We know that, as Pirkei Avos says. The Torah stands on the idea of Chesed. However, other nations also do Chesed. Mother Teresa did lots of Chesed. People do Chesed. In terms of Avoda, true, Yitzchak represented Avoda, and that's a great thing, the servant through Baruch Shalom and Korbanos and sacrificing and having an entire ritual type of service to the Baruch Shalom. But look, other nations also have their rituals and their sacrifices. It's only in regards to Torah, says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Only there we have Torah, right? Chochmah be'umos tamin. Torah be'umos al tamin. The other nations do not have Torah. So that's why the Malach Shel Esav Dafka came to destroy Yaakov, who is representative of Torah. Yaakov ishtan yoshevo alim. We know that Yaakov would sit and study Torah in the tents of Torah, in the Beis Medrash. However, we can understand well, as we are pointing out now, why the Satan also would feel a great need to attack Avram Avinu. The reason being because Avram Avinu was the very foundation of Yiddishkeit. Avram Avinu was the first Jew. Avram Avinu was the one to establish the covenant, to initiate the relationship between God and the Jewish people. And the Satan knows quite well, I think we can understand, that if he can take down Avram Avinu, he can get this thing finished before it even got started. He can destroy it all at the very beginning before it ever gets going.
That was the goal of the Satan. That's why he attacks Avraham Avinu and he attacks the Akedah in our history. Now I got to wondering, is there anywhere else in Tanakh where the Satan plays a major role in the book of the Tanakh? Now we said in Zechariah, the Satan is there on the side of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, he's mentioned. He has a little part there. But is there anywhere in Tanakh where the Satan has a major role anywhere else? And somehow can we connect it to what we've seen so far? And the answer is yes. As we bring in source 17, the book of Iyov. There, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav, we are told, Vayehi Ayom, Vayavo B'nei Elokim, Lehityatzev Al Hashem. And it was on that day, the children of God came to stand before the All Merciful One. Vayavo Gama Satan B'tocham. And the Satan also came in their midst. Vayomer Hashem Al Satan. And God said to the Satan, Me'ayin Tavo, where are you coming from? Vayan Satan et Hashem Bayomar. And the Satan answered the Merciful One. And he said, Mishut Ba'aretz U'mitalech Ba. He says, I've been canvassing the land, the earth, and going throughout it. What does Rashi say here? Vayehi Hayom. It was on this day that the angels all came together and Satan in their midst. What does Rashi say? Oto Yom Shehaya Rosh Hashanah. It was that day of Rosh Hashanah. Shehu Yom Teruah. B'tzivakadosh Baruch Hu L'Satan L'Havi Zechut V'Chova Shel Kol HaBriyot. And God had commanded Satan to bring on this day of judgment both merits and demerits for all the creatures of the earth. Wow. So this very other place that we know of, where we have an indication of the prominence of the Satan, just like we have in regards to the shofar, and regards to going back to the Akedah, is itself in the book of Iyov, and it's taking place on Rosh Hashanah. Why was the Satan among them? Rashi says, the Kareg HaBriyot, in order to accuse the creatures. And he goes on to say what the Satan was saying. Kain Darki Lashut Ulirot Ra'im V'Tovim. It is my way to go around trying to look for those who are good and those who are evil. Shatatati b'chol ha'aretz v'lo matzati ka'avraham. Interestingly, he says, I have gone throughout the land and I have, you should know, found no one as great as Avraham Avinu. Shenemar bo kum hitolech ba'aretz. Because he was told to go and to take over this land, and God was going to give him this land. B'yamru Razal Satan L'Shem Shemayim Nitavein. It's interesting. And it says that the rabbis say that the Satan was saying this L'Shem Shemayim, for the sake of heaven. K'dei Shelo Yehei Nishtach Lifnei Elokeinu Zechuto Shel Avraham. Amazing. So that the Satan would remind God of the greatness of Avraham. So he was doing this, and he was pushing Avraham to the forefront. Amazing. Unbelievable. Even the Satan can do something L'Shem Shemayim. Do you hear me, Rabosai? Even the Satan can do something L'Shem Shemayim. Why do I say this? Rabbi Kibble, Zichron Livracha, once told me a story. Rabbi Chemi Kibble. He said that in Memphis, Tennessee once, there was a certain event about to take place, a circumcision, a milah. And there was a moyel in town who was a good moyel. Maybe there are other moyels who have more hidurim. So this individual, instead of using the moyel in town who everyone used, so he called the moyel, a moyel from out of town, to come in to do the milah. And I'm sure the moyel wasn't related to him or a relative or something like that. He wanted another moyel, a better moyel. Of course, in the meantime, this would cause a certain embarrassment to the moyel who was in town. So Rabbi Kibble said that they asked Rav Huttner, about this. And the individual spoke to Rav Hudner, and he said, listen, I'm doing this totally l'shem shamayim. I am doing this fully for the sake of heaven. That's why I'm doing this. So what's wrong with it? Rav Hudner responded, as only Rav Hudner could, Rabosai, if you know Rav Hudner. Rav Hudner responded, nonsense. There is no doing something l'shem shamayim in our time. You hear this? We understand what he means. Everyone says today they're doing something l'shem shamayim. Oh, come on, without any negiyah whatsoever, without the slightest little subjectivity, you're doing something, it's always l'shem shamayim? Rav Hudner said no. He said no. He says no one today does something l'shem shamayim. And I'm going to add my own little element here to Rav Hudner. We see from this Rashi, that he'd even be the Satan, and he could be l'shem shamayim. Even the Satan here is l'shem shamayim. You take that as you want. I take it to mean that, you know what, just because you're l'shem shamayim doesn't mean you're a great tzaddik. You could be a Satan. You could be the Satan and still be doing something, seemingly, and even presumably, l'shem shamayim. In any event, this is what Rashi says, and it's an amazing thing here. It's an amazing thing. We see the Gemara in Baba Batra further says, Daf Ted Vav Amud Bet, in commenting upon what the Satan was doing, it says, Umamar Satan B'tchila. What was the Satan saying? Amar Lifanav. He said, Ribono Sholam, Shatati B'kola Olam Kulo V'lo Matzati Neman Ka'abdach Abraham. The Satan says, Ribono Sholam, look, he asked me what I've been doing. I've been going throughout the whole world. I haven't found anyone as great as Abraham. Shamar Talo, this source says, you said to him, Kumi Talich Ba'aretz, L'arkal Rachba Ki L'chad. Now, not go, this land is yours. V'yahilu V'pilu Hachi B'shash Shelo Matza Makom Be'eretz Yisrael L'gboret Sara Ad Shekana B'dalad Amog B'dalad Me'ot Shekel Kesef Lo Hirher Achar Midotecha. So the Satan says that Avram was so amazing, not because of the Akedah. Listen to this, not because of the Akedah. Although we know that the Rambam and Rashi, I believe, only count, if I recall, the test going up to the Akedah, and the Akedah being the greatest test. But Rabbeinu Yonah, if I recall correctly, counts the death of Sarah and the need for Avram to bury her as another test, maybe even some might say the Satan saying a greater test, because here it was after the Akedah and Sarah died as a result. No, he didn't lose Yitzchak as a result of the Akedah, but he lost Sarah, his life's partner. And as we indicated before, this was a great test in terms of the crying, as we recently pointed out. And so the Satan said that this land was given to Abraham, and yet he couldn't find a place to bury her. This was such a great test for him, he considered, the Satan did. And therefore, there's no one like Abraham Avinu. Very nice. The Satan is saying such a wonderful thing. As we said, L'shem Shamayim. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, then God points out, we see, Gadol ha-nemar be-Iov yoter b'mash nemar ba-Abraham. No, you know what? Iov is even greater than Abraham. Because Vayomer Hashem el ha-Satan, we are told God says to the Satan, Hasamta libcha al avdi Iov? You say Abraham's the best. Have you seen my servant Iov? He's even better. Ki ein kamo ba'aretz. There's no one like him. Ish tam yashar yarei Elokim b'sar mira. There's no one like him who is a person who is a complete person, a whole person, a straight person who fears God and who stays away from evil. And be'Iov kativ. It says by Iov, he's Tam B'Yashar Yar Elokim. Don't forget by Abraham. It only says after the Akedah that God says, Ki Ata Yadati Ki Arei Elokim Ata. Now I know that you fear God. But by Iov it says he feared God, and he was Nishtam, and he was Nayashar, and he was Sar Meirah. So God tells the Satan, oh, You think Avram's the greatest? Eov is even greater than Avram. What is going on here? It's another discussion, but here, it's not the Satan tempting Rivon Shalom to test Avram, as we saw in the case of our sources with the Satan coming to begin the whole Akedah narrative. Here, it's the Satan saying, you know, Avram is really the best. You're right, Rivon Shalom. And Rivon Shalom tempts the Satan. And he says, no, it's not true. Eov's actually better. Go ahead, go. I give you permission to try to bring Eov down. That's itself an amazing statement there. We understand in Chazal and the way they understand Eov, but what I pointed out to you is that Eov also, the other place the Satan is so prominent, it's in a situation where it's also Rosh Hashanah that is taking place, and therefore the entire element of Satan's involvement seems to revolve around, as we said, the shofar and Rosh Hashanah, but also around Avram Avinu. Now we're going to consider the major question that we're asking, confusing the Satan, what does it mean? How could the Satan be so foolish to not know by now what has been happening every year? We're going to start with source number 20, Dr. Nachum Lam, Rav Lam, the Rosh Hashiva Yeshiva University, in an article, a sermon actually by Yehi Or, that he wrote, I believe, in 1960, and it's published in the YU Rosh Hashanah to Go series. It says there the following: I believe that there is a far deeper Jewish thought in these words, one for which the expression of La'arbev et ha-Satan is a kind of poetic garment. So in other words, Dr. Lam considers not that this should not be taken literally, as of course, I mean, one would think if there's anything that shouldn't be taken literally, it's the idea of confusing the Satan. And Dr. Lam says it's a poetic garment, he calls it. This idea of which Shofar comes to remind us is that we right-thinking, well-meaning, loyal Jews, that we must not be confused. The Satan always seems to be better organized and more efficient. The forces of evil and tyranny on the international scene are usually far more effective and disciplined than those of the democracy of peace. The Satan within each of us is usually far more competent and energetic than our Yetzer Tov. In other words, Dr. Lam is conveying really a beautiful idea that what we're saying with the notion of that we're doing this to confuse the Satan is that we should be understanding that the Satan we're going to confuse. We should not be confused. Confuse the Satan. Don't confuse yourselves. Go in the right direction. Go in the direction at Hashem Elokecha in order that you should not go off the path which leads us to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, Dr. Lam has made a subtle switch in his understanding of the Satan. As he said, the Satan within each of us, referring to the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. This decision on his part is actually well grounded, as we see in Source 21, the view of the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, on Rosh Hashanah Tetzayin Amud Bet, says as follows. He says, Peirush, the explanation of confusing the Satan, Lahachnia et Hayetzer, is to humiliate and to shame the evil inclination. Tivi mikasho far ba'ir v'am lo yechredu. What nation will not be, what of the people will not shiver as a result? So the blowing of the shofar makes the Yetzer Hara, he says, shiver. The Satan hainu Yetzer Hara, because the Satan, that's the same thing as the evil inclination. Kedari shalek lakish namar, as Reish Lakish said in Baba Batra Daftet Zainamud Aleph, who Satan, who Malach Hamavet, who Yetzer Hara. It says, Reish Lakish tells us that the notion of the Satan is equivalent to that of the angel of death, which is equivalent to that of the evil inclination. So it is not a far-off fantasy to try to identify the Satan and this animated notion we have, if you will, the devil, as being the Yetzer Hara within us. In fact, we are told the Gemara says that that is the case, and that's how Rabbeinu Nisim understands who exactly we are fooling here. We are trying to confuse our own evil
inclination, which we identify here as the Satan. In fact, in Source 23, the Sichat Musar, on Taf Tet, Rav Chaim Shmulevich says as follows, L'chora, ma kol abala hazo shel ha-satan, asking the same question we've been asking all along, what is this confusion of the Satan? Hare kama shanim avru, v'kama tikiot kivar takuva, dayin hu kayam. Look, many shofar blasts have been thrown throughout the generations. And the Satan is still here, what's he afraid of? Ela yodea satan et chul shato. Rather, the Satan knows his weakness. Ki tarurut hakala biyoter alula levatlo kalil min haolam umikan pachto agadol. Rav Chaim Shmulevich says that the Satan is not foolish, the Satan is not stupid. The Satan knows that if a human being would just take the slightest move toward tshuva, if he would just take the most minor movement toward a genuine act of Avodas Hashem, that this could wipe him out, wipe out the Satan Yetzer Hara forever. And thus, he has this terrible fear. This is the same notion as expressed by all the Bali Musar. In the Michtam Eliyahu, Chelek Bet, Daf Ayin Bet, he says, Ayideh Shofar Yitzayir Adam Belibo Et Otzem Malchuto Yitbarach. Through the blowing of the shofar, which we know was also done at the coronation of kings, a person feels in his heart a complete acceptance of the grandeur of God's kingdom. Ad shelo tishar af nekuda achat b'leiv shiyochaz ba hayetzahara lahatuto. Until there's nothing left in him that is uncommitted to God's malchut, and as a result, the Yetzer Hara has nothing to play with, as it were, in order to lead him astray. Bezehu geder arvu v'satan. And this is the definition of the confusing of the Satan, hamuva b'gemara, that we talk about in the Gemara. V'yadua shekatroga satan hainu etzem hasatata Yetzer Hara shebelev. Again, he confirms the idea that the Satan itself is the Yetzer Hara we have internally within us, that seeks to destroy us or to take us away from the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav David Goldberg in his Shirat David, Daf Kuf Gimel, Rabin tells, writes, Nira Shezehu Be'emet Kol Ikar Koach Shel HaSatan. And what is the whole strength and power of the evil inclination of the Satan? Lahatil Sfeikot B'tzivu Yashen Mahal Yedei Achasha Gemura וכעניין שהיה בחית של אית הדעת, שאמר הנחש לא מות תמותון, הנה ידי כל מיני טעונות שהיא מטיל ספק בדעת האדם, דמסתבר שעל אופן זה לא נאסר. The whole goal of the evil incarnation is to implant doubts into our minds about what God has asked us to do for him. And be it through formal arguments, he may do so, be it, again, as we said, just through questions that are raised, by saying that really, yes, you're right, you're not allowed to do it, but in this particular case, it was not forbidden, you can do it in this case, whatever it is, that is the goal of the Yetzer Hara, just, in a sense, to get us started, just to get the smallest doubt, like where Rav Chaim Shmulevich said, that the way to vanquish the Yetzer Hara is just by taking the slightest movement of a positive nature toward the Ribbono Shel Olam. So too, he recognizes that his act, just the slightest movement the other way, can bring a person down. Rav Yitzchak Blazer, a Talmid of Yisrael Salanter, says as follows as well, as it said in his name, I saw in various sources. Even though the Mashiach did not come after all of these many years when the shofar was blown, Shema asu tshuva, still, maybe the Jews did tshuva. Nimsa ha'adam nechaz ba'avodatu tayeyush v'choshev. Hallo avru alai kol kach harbe shanim v'yamim no ra'im v'tikiyot shofar v'lo asiti tshuva. Shuv ein li takana. A person may think that he is so caught up in his avera, so immersed in sin,
that he despairs and he thinks in his mind, so many years have gone by and I've never repented. I've heard so many shofar blasts. I've never come back to Ribbono Shel Olam. Shuv ein li takana. I am no longer capable of being fixed. I cannot correct myself anymore. Adama choshev kach garuahu min ha-satan. A person who thinks in such a way, says Rav Lazer, that person is actually worse than the Satan himself. That person has less faith in himself than the Satan has. The Satan recognizes that a person, even though he has not done tshuva for decades, even though the Jewish people haven't done tshuva for centuries, that still they are capable of doing it. They could do it. They could do tshuva. They could bring the Mashiach. Where an individual Jew himself feels that he can't help himself. He's sinned too often. There's no going back anymore. Yotzei comes out that the Satan has more faith in a person than the person has in himself. And thereby he is worse than the Satan in terms of his self-confidence and his knowledge of his ability to return to Hashem. I should like to point out at this point a personal experience concerning the fighting of the Yetzer Hara. For a long time, some years ago, actually for 25 years, I had tried to overcome a certain aveira unsuccessfully, until I read in the works of a Rav Hamburg that the greatest trial that you have in terms of your evil inclination, the greatest taiva that you have, is probably come upon you because if you would conquer this taiva, you would conquer it, this view says, from previous generations. This view goes with Gilgul Neshamot and the idea that a certain aveira has been passed down from generation to generation. It's not been conquered. And if you can conquer it and overcome it, then you can correct not only your own behavior and your own neshama, but those of hundreds and hundreds of generations that have gone back, that have been nichshol in this particular aveira. So when I learned this, and I knew it could have an impact upon others, not just myself, then I overcame that aveira. A similar notion happened recently. I went to a woman to meet with her about a certain matter, and in that meeting, it was unexpected to me, she shared with me the fact that she had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she had a very short time to live. This woman was not terribly observant, but she wanted me to know, and of course she wanted me to do whatever I could for her, so I, of course, immediately asked her for a Hebrew name. She didn't have one. Her name was Joanne, so I gave her the name Yosefa, that God should add on life to the time that she had left. And then, after telling her I would pray for her, I told her I would do whatever I could to somehow achieve God's mercy for her. What did I do? I decided that I would personally take it upon myself to try to, again, overcome a certain aveira that I feel I had given into and not been able to conquer. Well, I did it. I overcame that aveira. The Ribbono Shel Olam can be made. And as it so happens, Yosefa has since passed away. But it has now been many months since I have still not done that aveira. The question could even be asked, so who did more for whom? I was stopping to do this aveira because I knew, I hoped it would help Yosefa live longer. Again, for my own neshama, my own self, I was not motivated to stop doing this aveira. But when it came to someone else's life being on the line, so then I was motivated to do so. So I thought I was doing this for Yosefa, and I was doing something for her in fighting my Yetzer Hara terribly to overcome this aveira. But it turns out that Yosefa did much more for me. And in fact, as I said, she is no longer with us, but I am still not doing that aveira, because I tried to to be true to her in promising that I would try to connect to Ribbono Shel Olam and have his mercies shine down upon her. Again, sometimes you don't have faith in yourself, but the others have faith in you, and then you can accomplish. And so too even the Satan, as we are saying, has faith that you can do it when you don't have faith in yourself. And that is why, indeed, he has such fear of the fact that he knows if a Jew has hirurei tshuva and he acts upon them, that this can indeed destroy his yetzer hara and allow the person to achieve personal redemption. Rav Chana Chanach Leibowitz, the Rosh Hashiva of Chavetz Chaim, Zichron Livracha, and His Majesty of Man, Daf Kaf Chet, also echoes the same idea. He says, the archenemy of the Jewish people, the Satan, is no fool. His fear is well-founded. He is acutely aware of how close we are to bringing the Mashiach. This year's shofar blast could very well be announcing the Mashiach's arrival. It depends only on us. So again, this thought that the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, it's not he who is the foolish one. That was our question. How can he be so foolish? How can he be confused on a regular basis? It is, in fact, we are the foolish ones for not being able to understand that although it has been a long time since we have started to pray for the redemption, it does not mean that that time has to continue. In fact, the redemption, the Geula, can come beharif ayin, in the wink of an eye. Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Tamei Minhagim brings down another reason as to why he understands the Satan's confused as a result of the blowing of the shofar, the way we're doing it with the Tekios de Megushab, adding that to the ritual. He says, Rabbi Kiva Eger does, that in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, we know, we are told as well, that if a person becomes a real Baal Tshuva, so God loves him so much that he even takes, let's say if it's tshuva meyira, if it's tshuva out of fear, God will take his purposeful sins and make them into accidental sins. And someone who does tshuva meyava, who repents out of love, so his sins that he has done purposely will even become zechuyot, even become mitzvot. And he says that, now we can understand it was Rashi's intent on the Gemara that we quoted about confusing the Satan. When Rashi said that this shows, by putting this extra set of shofar blasts in, that as a result, the Jewish people love doing mitzvot, so this means now that the Satan doesn't know what to do. Because it shows the Jews are doing mitzvahs out of, as Rashi's saying, that they're doing it out of chiba, out of ava. If the Jews do tshuva out of ava, as they're adding this extra shofar blowing to be symbolic of that fact, so then their averas will actually become mitzvahs. So the Satan, who is there to attack the Jewish people, to prosecute them, and to point out all their averas, so now by pointing out their averas, he is in fact going to have them transformed into mitzvahs, because they have been tshuva meyava, by adding this second shofar blowing. And thereby this shuts up the attack of the Satan. He doesn't know what to do. This confuses him. Because if he doesn't attack and say anything, so then the Jewish people might get off innocent. And if he does attack, so then it's possible that his averas that he's pointing out will become now transformed into mitzvahs. So therefore it's just Sheval Tase. He has nothing to do but to sit there, and he is not capable of prosecuting the Jewish people. The Aruch HaShulchan, Tavkuf Pehe, Simon Bed and Gimel, has somewhat of a different explanation. He says the idea of the confusion of the Satan is as follows. He says, historically it used to be the case, and I saw this as well in some of the Rishonim, that when the Jewish people would blow shofar, as we said, the Iker shofar blowing is, the Tekiyas Da'amida, they would blow the tekiyas in the davening of Musaf, So then apparently the other nations wherein the Jewish people dwelled would think that this was a shofar blast of war, of rebellion, calling the Jewish people to fight against the nations wherein they lived. And as a result, the Jews had to do something about it. Now, the most logical thing would have been to get rid of the shofar blowing entirely. After all, it's endangering Jewish lives. But no, what did the Jewish people do, says the Aruch HaShulchan? Instead, they put in an extra set of shofar blasts. And those extra sets were put in, as we said, at the beginning of the davening, that is to say, at the shacharit section, where the Jews, they already knew the other nations, say Shema and daven and have other elements to their rituals that are understood to be there at that point of the davening. So when the shofar blast was put there, so then they didn't get scared and think, oh, this is a shofar blast of warfare. They just thought it was just part of their ritual requirements, just like everything else. So instead of getting rid of the shofar blasts in the fear of a gzeira, a decree, a pogrom being declared against the Jewish people, by adding this other blast of shofar, and now having the two blasts, somehow it calmed down the nations. They heard one shofar blast, they knew it's their ritual, and they heard another one, they said, okay, Mistam, it's the same thing. And consequently, this therefore was a sign of their great love for the Ribono Shel Olam by not getting rid of the mitzvah of shofar, but in fact, as again Rashi indicated, by doubling the shofar blasts, and as a result, this confused the Satan, who could not point to the Jewish people's desire to run away from mitzvah. It's just the opposite. They even endangered their lives, as it were, to make sure the mitzvah shofar was still incorporated in the davening. And this is what the Aruch HaShulchan says, is to be understood by the fact that the Satan was confused. I'm now going to add my own insight into this notion of the confusing of the Satan. What does it mean? I'd like to give a deeper explanation. The Aruch HaShulchan in Tavkuf Pei Hei, Simen Dala, the very next Simen after we just quoted, says, V'noagin litkoa al ha-bima b'makom shekorin b'Torah. He says, our custom is, in terms of at least these first blasts, the second blasts are done during tefillah, they can be blown, presumably, by anyone wherever that person is standing, but the first blasts, where we have the special takana, those blasts are blown from the bima, from the place where the Torah was read. Why is that the case, says the Aruch HaShulchan? Kevan shenitkanu acharei kriyat haTorah. Since these shofar blasts were established to be blown after kriyas haTorah, so consequently, no, so they're blown right there where the Torah was read. It's just a practical element in terms of why they are blown at that place. I would like to suggest an idea that is, I think, more profound. It's not because the Torah was read at that place that therefore I know, so right there, you're there anyway, so you make the shofar blast there. No. It's because of what is represented in the reading of the Torah. We know that the shofar was blown in the case of the Akedah, as is indicated throughout the liturgy of the davening. The shofar blasts will be, in fact, blown later. And as we've indicated, the Gemara itself said that is the main reason for the blowing of the shofar, is because of Akedas Yitzchak. But Rabosai, among the reasons that are given, there is another reason for the shofar blast as well. And that is also in the davening. And that is that the shofar we know was blown at Har Sinai. We say this in the davening. We say, Vayihi kol ha-shofar holeich v'chazek ma'od. There's a whole description of the, if you will, symphonic sounds of the shofar and the lightning and the thunder that was taking place at Har Sinai, as the Jewish people were about to be given, about to receive the Torah. I would like to suggest that the reason why the Torah, where the Torah was read, is where the shofar blasts are blown, that this is what fools the Satan. We know, according to the Maharam Rutenberg, that the reason we read the Torah and the reason many Jews, in fact, therefore stand for the reading of the Torah is because every time you read the Torah, it's supposed to be a re-experience of Har Sinai. Soloveitchik even says in some of his works, the thought that when you open up that Torah, it can be read just like the Shekhinah was in Har Sinai. The Shekhinah is there once again speaking to us in that Kriyas HaTorah. It's not just an activity, according to this view, of Talmud Torah. It's an activity of the re-experiencing of the revelation of Har Sinai. What was the meaning of that re-experiencing of the Torah, and how does this fool the Satan? We know that, according to our tradition, we are told in the Avodah Zarah, Daf Kaf Bet Amud Bet, Bishah Sheba Nachash Al Chava, when the snake, and who is the snake if not the Satan, when the Satan came upon Chava, he tilba zuama, he infected her, he poisoned her. Yihachi Yisrael Nami, this should also affect the Jewish people as well. In fact, as it did, by taking away their immortality. The Gemara says, Yisrael she'amdu al Har Sinai, paska zuamatan. The Jewish people, because they stood at Har Sinai, the infection stopped. They were healed. They were made healthy spiritually again. Ovde kochavim, the idolaters, shelo amdu al Har Sinai, lo paska zuamatan. But the non-Jews, the idolaters, at least, who were not at Har Sinai, as a result, they were not healed. They were not made spiritually healthy again. They did not regain immortality. I might add that I don't believe this necessarily speaks about those who are observant of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We know that Chassidei Umos HaOlam have a place in the world to come, have a place in eternity with the Ribono Shel Olam. We know the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the Rebbe Meir said that even a non-Jew who studies his Torah, that person is Kodesh HaKodashim, like the Kohen Gadol. He is the Holy of Holies. Obviously, in other words, he's reached the highest possible spiritual level. It seems to me he also has a place in the world to come. But it means, as we're seeing it, that the Jewish people, when they receive the Torah, then that act of the Nachash, of the Satan, who thought now it was all over, that he had destroyed mankind once and for all and made them finite and mortal? No. The Satan did not do that. The Jewish people re-accepted the Torah upon themselves. Rav Ben Sion Fier points out in his Elohim Moadai, Daf Nun Tet, in fact, that this Maase of the Satan, as we know, and when did the Nachash, the Satan HaKadmoni, when did he attack the first human beings? When did he bring them down? It was none other than on Rosh Hashanah itself. On the sixth day of creation, which is Rosh Hashanah, on that very day, within 12 hours after man being created, that very day he sinned. That very day of Rosh Hashanah, which to the Satan should be a day of celebration for the day in which he brought man down. But that Satan now must come face to face on the same Rosh Hashanah when we blow shofar, a place where we read the Torah, when we blow shofar, are to say that we have reaccepted the Torah upon ourselves and once again we have immortality. How do we know? Because we know that in Gan Eden, the sin was that they ate of the Eitz of Da'adat. They were supposed to eat of the Eitz HaChayim. But they lost their right to the Eitz HaChayim, to the Tree of Life, to eternal life as a result of their sin. But Eitz Chayim Hina Machazikim Ba. But we know the Torah is also called in Tanakh the Eitz HaChayim, the Tree of Life. This Tree of Life comes to replace the Tree of Life that was in Gan Eden. And when the Jewish people reaccept the Torah upon themselves, as indicated by the blowing of the blast of that shofar, and that happens on Rosh Hashanah, they regain immortality, as the Gemara we saw said, also in Shabbat, Kufnun Vav, the same Gemara. And as a result, Pascha Zumatan, the infection that was inserted into the human being, into the Jew, by the Satan, is now healed. And that's what confuses the Satan. The Satan realizes that what he did now, oh, he's nervous, because if the Jews will be Makabel the Torah upon themselves, they can destroy and vanquish the Satan. The Satan's actions in Gan Eden were not complete, were not finished, were not the end for humankind. The Torah gives us the ability to re-accept upon ourselves and to re-experience the Eitz Chaim, as we say in the bracha, after we have an aliyah to that place at the Torah. V'chaye olam nata b'tochenu, that God has implanted, look at the language, what's this language of implanted? The Eitz Chaim, that's the language. God has implanted eternal life once again within us through our reading and accepting of the Torah. This continues all the way through Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you know, the Gemara says it's the one day when the Satan does not have a right to prosecute anymore. Maybe he could do so on Rosh Hashanah, maybe he could do so throughout the year, even the Atzeres Shemei Tshuva, but on Yom Kippur, he has no right to prosecute anymore. What do we do on Yom Kippur? We re-accept the Torah, in fact. The second luchos were given as a means of kapara, of atonement for the Jewish people, where we are once again given life and forgiven for our sins. Why? Because we re-accept that Torah, that new Eitz Chaim, that will give us and can give us eternal life and protect us from forever against the imaginational ideas of the Satan. Barati Yetzer Hara, Ubarati Lo Torah Tavli. The Gemara Kedushin says, Daf Lamud Amudbet, that God says He has created the evil inclination, but He has created the Torah as its antidote. And in accepting the Torah and immersing ourselves in the learning of Torah, indeed, that can be the case, and that's what frightens and confuses, I would suggest, the Satan. And to the very point, as is mentioned in Tosfos, the name Yerushalmi, that on an individual level, when we all will do Tshuva Shlema, on Rosh Hashanah when we hear the shofar blast, through the Aser Shmei Tshuva, and finally on Yom Kippur, that will lead to the vanquishing of the Yetzer Hara for the individual, and the vanquishing of the Satan for the Jewish nation, leading to the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimheira Biyameinu, V'haya Bayom Ahu Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol, and that day will come and the great shofar blast shall be blown, that will finally lead to the redemption.